George Washington is called the father of our country because he was the commanding officer who managed to lead the colonists to defeat the vaunted British Army and win our nation's independence. However, there are many points along Washington's career that if you froze them in that moment, you would have said he was a miserable failure. In his very first military encounter in the French and Indian War, he was actually captured by the French. In his second military encounter, his commanding officer was killed, his forces were routed, and Washington had to beat an inglorious retreat. In the Revolutionary War, the British Army defeated Washington time after time after time. He lost the colony's two biggest cities, New York and Philadelphia. And over the course of the war, he almost lost his life. He almost lost his command because the politicians were generally agreed that this man, as a commander, was a miserable flop. And yet, Washington persevered. And though he failed, and he failed, and he failed, and he lost, he used all of those failures, all of those losses, as moments of instruction. He gleaned wisdom. He gleaned experience. He gleaned insight that would allow him ultimately to achieve his objective, winning our nation's freedom. Abraham Lincoln, whom we celebrated in February, also considered himself a failure. As a businessman, he went bankrupt. Over the course of his life, he lost his mother, his sister, his fiancée, and three sons to premature death. He lost so many elections. On the eve of one election, he said to his voters, "If you don't vote for me, I am so accustomed to disappointment, I will not be much surprised." When he was elected president, much of the nation so resented his election, they rebelled against the union he represented. And his conduct, his administration of the war, was considered so inept that he actually wrote to his cabinet just a few weeks before his re-election, "It is probable today, as in past weeks, it is clear to me this administration will not be re-elected." And yet, despite failure after failure, despite criticism upon criticism, Lincoln's pertinacity, his toughness, his perseverance allowed him to take wisdom gleaned from loss after loss and apply it to ultimately achieve his objective, the restoration of our nation's union. So that today, this frequent loser, when they rank U.S. presidents, consider Abraham Lincoln the greatest. I share their examples because it gives us insight as we look at the behavior of Peter and John. In the first scene that we see, Jesus is coming down from the mountain, warm with the affirmation from Moses and Elijah, but he comes down the mountain to confront an unruly crowd. And there is a disappointed father, a desperate father, eager to save the life of his only son. And he says to Jesus, Can you cure my child? Can you deliver him? The child suffers some form of epilepsy. And the man says to him, I asked your disciples to do it, but they could not. And so, as the disciples stand around like ashamed schoolboys, Jesus calls the Father to bring the Son before him and touches him with healing, transforming power. The disciples failed, and they show a complete lack of spiritual understanding, because not only do they fail, but very soon thereafter, we see them squabbling among each other over which one of them is going to be greatest in the kingdom of God. If you snapped a portrait of the disciples as they stood by in their ignorance and their impotence, their superficial and shallow faith, you would have said, these men are nothing but failures. And so they were. But the next scene, we see them, they stride into the temple as representative of Christ's power. They come with confidence, they come with understanding, they come with Christ's compassion, and when they see a man who is in need, they reach down and they fill him with healing power and lift him up to newness of life. They're no longer superficial. They're no longer shallow. They're no longer powerless. Peter and John in this scene have grown. They have matured. They have progressed. How did they move from one scene to the next? How did they grow? And how can we? First thing to note about Peter and John is they do not allow their worst moment to define their best. Many of us do that. We allow our worst failures, our worst decisions to limit the potential of our existence. Peter and John do not do that. They won't allow their worst choices to define their best choices. A wise man once said that every single life is ultimately reduced to one sentence. What's the one sentence of Judas Iscariot? Judas Iscariot betrayed his Savior to his enemies for 30 pieces of silver. What could you say of John? He angled, begged Jesus to be allowed to sit at his right hand of power. What could you say of Peter? He even denied that he knew Jesus 3 separate times. Those statements are true, but they are not definitive. Peter and John did not allow their worst experiences to define their best. So that ultimately John became the beloved disciple of Jesus who founded a community of love and faith and grace. Peter became the rock, the spokesman for the early church in Jerusalem. Yes, they failed. Yes, there were a time when they were superficial and shallow. But they didn't allow their worst moments to define their best. They grew. Peter and John regarded their failures as teachable moments. In the Gospel of Mark's account of the disciples' inability to heal the epileptic child, afterward, they go to Jesus and they say, why couldn't we heal him? And Jesus answers, this act can only be done through prayer. In other words, he was saying to the disciples, you didn't go through the spiritual training. You didn't go through the spiritual discipline. You hadn't spent the time in preparation to open your souls to God's strength. And so you failed. Peter and John looked at that failure and it taught them where they had fallen short. Failure is not an event. It is the culmination of a process. Think about it. When historians analyze the disaster at Pearl Harbor, they don't just look at the event. They look at the series of decisions that led to that catastrophe. When the NASA engineers examine the Challenger explosion, they don't just look at the event. They look at the host of events that culminated in that tragedy. Peter and John's and the other disciples' inability to heal that sick child was the culmination of a long process of a lack of training, a lack of discipline, a lack of openness. It's not just the event. It was the culmination of a process of failure. But they grew. They learned where they were weak. They learned where they needed to grow. And how do we know that? In Acts 1, when the early church is gathered in Jerusalem in a room ensconced and active in prayer, they don't yield to the temptation to rush out and do good. They're brimming with enthusiasm. They're ready with excitement, but they wait. They wait in accordance with Christ's instructions not to move until they received the power of the Spirit. They exercised holy patience and waited until they were ready to receive the power of the Lord and then go forth. They learned. They progressed. They matured on the basis of past mistakes. Peter and John learned to regard their failure as fertilizer. Fertilizer. They don't let their mistakes define them. They don't let their losses imprison them. They don't let their bad decisions completely ruin their lives. No, they allow those negativities to be fertilizer for growth. A man by the name of Brian Tracy wrote a book a few years ago called Psychology of Achievement, in which he tracked the lives of four men who made their fortunes by age 35. When he analyzed the narrative of their lives, he found that all four entrepreneurs averaged 17 failures before they succeeded. They averaged 17 disasters before they found the right plan. But their 17 failures were fertilizer. Fertilizer that allowed them to move forward. Peter looks at Jesus and he says to them, hey, everybody else might run, I won't forsake you. Well, he was wrong. Dead wrong. But he grew from that failure. He learned from that false declaration. And his failure became fertilizer for him to become the rock who articulated the church's truth and brought healing power to others. The business community understand something about failure. In fact, they have a phrase for it, failing forward. Failing forward. There's a whole school of business related to a book by David Maxwell called Failing Forward. And the idea is battered and bruised people who have fallen down can recover their self-respect and self-confidence and use their failures as grist to move forward. That is not the experience of Peter and John. They failed upward. And that's very different. Peter and John knew on the basis of their self-confidence that they made declarations they couldn't back up. Their self-confidence only spawned self-delusions. Rather, their failures opened themselves up to the reality of God. And they said, God, by my own strength, I cannot succeed. But by your strength, I can do all things through Christ. When Peter and John are hauled before the Sanhedrin to explain their healing of this man and others, they respond, we didn't heal this man by our power. We healed him by the power of Jesus Christ. Do we allow our failures, our losses, our mistakes to open up our being unto God and say, by my strength, by my wisdom, by my talent, I can only go so far. I am flawed. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. As I open myself up to you, O Lord, help me grow. Help me mature. Help me progress. Help me learn. In our dining room, there is a portrait picture. And it's of a busy street, bustling downtown, and everyone is walking along the sidewalk with their head down, so focused on getting to where they're going, so fixated on their agenda, so infected with anxiety. Everyone head down, walking in concentration. And in the background, there is a church. And in front of the church is a little sign that proclaims the pastor's next message. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. How many of us are so fixated on our agendas, so weighed down by our mistakes, so burdened with anxiety, that we fail to understand that the whole purpose of life, our victories and our successes, are meant to lift up our eyes unto the hills whence our strength comes. Our victories and our defeats are meant to lift up our eyes and open our being unto God. We're going to have successes. We're going to have failures. We're going to experience highs and we're going to know terrible losses. But all of it is meant as grist to open our being up, to lift up our eyes to the reality of God and to allow God's strength to do for us what we cannot do ourselves and to illumine us that we might learn from our mistakes. We're all going to fail, but will we, by the grace of God, fail upward? May we pray together. Lord, pierce our arrogance and our self-righteousness and our silly self-confidence. puncture it with your piercing grace and allow us to see that we must open our eyes, lift them up to you and to your strength, for only then can we grow. In the name of the Christ we pray. Amen. Even as